it's perfectly right in the vast majority of cases that the case has to stand or fall on its own merits, and just because someone has previous convictions, you can't construe their guilt from that. But in these very serious cases where there's a prior pattern of behaviour, then in some circumstances that pattern of behaviour can be introduced as evidence to show that this individual behaves in this way. And I believe part of the issues on that case, in the London murder case, was that the young woman was found to have been strangled with a rope, and there was evidence from an earlier case where Hard liked to put a noose around the neck of his victims while he was holding them prisoner. And I think that was a key factor that was able to be put in front of the jury. Then when we come forward to the Arlene Atkinson case in Northern Ireland, sadly, the decision at that stage was, I don't know for what reasons, probably good legal reasons, that evidence couldn't be used in that case, and the jury acquitted him.
So he was charged with the killing of Arlene Atkinson. Her body's never been found. But he was the last known person to be with her, isn't that right?
I understand he was seen driving away in a taxi with her in the taxi. And that was the last time she was ever seen alive. And he went before the jury in Northern Ireland with all the evidence that the police could muster in relation to that. But the jury were not allowed to know that the man in the dock was already serving a life sentence for the murder of another young woman, where there were a lot of the circumstances were quite similar to this particular case. Again, he had befriended the family. He was known to them, and he had engineered a situation where he could be alone with the young woman.
It's obviously a different world we're in now with the internet and people, the information that's out there. Do you think things would be different today? Even though I know jurors are actually advised not to read stories or to prejudge in that sense, but at the time of the trial involving Arlene, that information may not have been freely available. Do you think that would have made a difference?
I think it would have made a difference. If you look back at the criminal justice system has come a long way in the last 50 years. In the UK, and I think in Ireland, there is the issue about the way victims are treated. When I joined the police in 76, and I remember having my early years, the early 80s, having a rape case at court, and the prosecution line of defence was the victim was a slut. She was having relationships with a married man at the time that she was raped, and that therefore she was asking for it. And that they were allowed to run that sort of defence. That wouldn't happen these days. There is much more protection for the victims. It's not perfect, but it's better. And there are all sorts of other protections built into the system. But above all, in terms of sentencing policy, I think that's dramatically improved. And certainly in the UK, when prisoners are up for release on licence now, they're released on the basis of a risk assessment of their risk of reoffending. And any risk assessment of Mr. Hard would have shown that this was a dangerous paedophile who should not be out any time.
And the jury, I mean, they have to treat each case individually, but you say it's sometimes permissible for them to know the record of the person before them. And in this case, this man was already serving a jail sentence for raping and murdering a schoolgirl at the point in which he was before that jury for the killing of Arlene Atkinson.
Yes, and there were some similarities between that in terms of how he arranged his relationship with this person, how he had had arranged to make sure he was left alone with her at a particular time. I think that's all facts. But the prosecution decision at that stage, probably on good legal grounds, or perhaps it was the judge, I'm not sure, that this couldn't be put in front of the jury because it would be so prejudicial to him.
This is the former Assistant Chief Constable, Alan McQuillan, on the line, talking about a murderer, Robert Howard, who's died over the weekend, child killer. You believe that he killed Arlene Atkinson, Alan?
I'm pretty sure he killed Arlene Atkinson. I wish we could find her body, and we could have found her body and brought some closure to the family. But I think if you look at the overwhelming evidence in terms of the pattern of his conduct, what he did, when he did it, how he developed the relationship with the family and people who knew her, how he arranged things. I think that I have no doubt personally that he killed her. Now, in the eyes of the law, he was acquitted by a jury. He is an innocent man. But looking at it personally, looking at it dispassionately, seeing all the facts, I believe that he was the person who murdered her.
And how do you think the police will now act in relation to this? I mean, is this a closed case?
I think from the police perspective, the police did everything they could at that stage with great cooperation from the Garda, I have to say. Because that's one of the reasons I was involved in discussions on this, because we were meeting the Garda on cross-border basis to try and work out how we could cooperate in various cases. And one of the things that Mr. Hard was very good at was exploiting the border to avoid being arrested, to avoid investigations. So I think that at this stage, I think the killer is gone to meet whatever you believe his final desserts are. The only thing that can ever be hoped for is that at some stage, something will come up that allows them to recover Arlene's body for her family. And I would just say, if anybody knows anything, I would urge them to contact the police in the north or the guards.
I believe that Arlene's sister Kathleen has said that the news of his death sickened her. If you'd hit me with a sword, I wouldn't have felt it as hard, she said. And if there is a heaven, there's also a place down below, and that's where he's heading. They clearly believe that he's taken the secret of where she is now buried to his grave with him.
I think that's sadly true. You've got to remember, this was a man with no remorse. He was an intelligent man. He was bright. He was sharp. He was cunning. But he would never admit to any of his wrongdoing. And I think that he has taken that secret to his grave. But there may be others out there who know something. And if they do, this is an opportunity to give that up and perhaps help this family. But unfortunately, other than that, we're just relying on chance or circumstances to bring this young woman back to her family.
Do people like this normally share information with a person?
It depends upon the individual and the relationships they have with them. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. He was very much a loner, so I don't know that he would have shared this, but it's a possibility that he did. Or alternatively, there is just someone who knows something, who saw something, who heard something that they've been reluctant to tell while he was alive. They may be prepared to tell it now, and it may bring this girl home. I don't know that. I hope that may be the case, but who knows? And I just wish there's something, family.
Alan McQuillan, thank you for joining us this morning.